ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, titled The Forest of Enjoyment, Text 39. It's in prose form, so I'll just read it.
Yad idam yoganu shasanam nava etat avarundate yanyasta danda munaya upashama shila uparat manaha samavagachanti.
Yat, which, idam, this ultimate abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yoga Anushasanam, only to be achieved by practicing devotional service. Na, not. Va, either. Etat, this path of liberation. Avarundate, obtain. Yat, therefore. Nyashta dandaha, dandaha, persons who have given up envying others. Munayaha, saintly persons. Upashama shilaha, who are now situated in a most peaceful existence. Uparata atmanaha, who have control over the mind and senses. Samava gacchanti, very easily obtained. Translation: saintly persons who are friends to all living entities have a peaceful consciousness. They have controlled their senses and minds, and they easily attain the path of liberation, the path back to Godhead. Being unfortunate and attached to the miserable material conditions, materialistic person cannot associate with them. Purport: the great saint Jadabharata described both the miserable condition and the means to get out. The only way out of it is association with devotees, and this association is very easy. Although unfortunate people also get this opportunity, due to their great misfortune, they cannot take shelter of pure devotees, and consequently they continuously suffer. Nonetheless, this Krishna consciousness movement insists that everyone take to this path by adopting the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The preachers of Krishna consciousness go from door to door to inform people how they can be relieved from the miserable conditions of material life. As stated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija, by the mercy of Krishna and Guru, one can get the seed of devotional service. If one is a little intelligent, he can cultivate Krishna consciousness and be freed from the miserable conditions of material life. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport to Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text 39.
Amagyana timirandasya gyananjana shlakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamahyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsa Jivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Jayapataka Swaminiti Namine Nama Acharya Padaya Nitai Kripa Pradayine Gaurakata Damodaya Nagaragrama Tarine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Gopi Pananadana Dase Tinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauramani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ukam karoti vachalam pangum langayati girim Yatkripatamaham bande shri gurudhintarinam Yatkripatamaham bande paramanandamadavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Katanchana smrite yasmindushkaram sukaram bhavet Vismrite vipritam syat Shri Chaitanyam namamitam
So in the last two chapters The last chapter was an allegorical description of the forest of enjoyment, and this chapter is a clear explanation of what was explained in the previous chapter. But the chapter endings are very similar. The process to get out of this forest of enjoyment is described. So it began with yesterday's text where Prabhupada explains that even by a little association with devotees, the conditioned soul can get out of this miserable material condition. This Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to give everyone a chance to associate with saintly people. Therefore, all the members of this Krishna consciousness society must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls. This is the best humanitarian work. So, the process to get out of this forest of material enjoyment is association of devotees and association of sadhus. And Prabhupada says, therefore, all the members of this Krishna conscious society must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give a chance to fallen conditioned souls. So how does this process work? How does association with a saintly person change one's life? So Prabhupada himself explains this out of his humility, although he was an eternally liberated devotee coming down from the spiritual world. Nevertheless, he presents himself humbly, and at the ending of the previous chapter, he explains in text 25 of the previous chapter, that's Canto 5, chapter 13. He explains, it is a fact that if one takes shelter of a pure devotee, one attains all perfection, even if the association is a short one. A sadhu is a pure devotee of the Lord. It has been our practical experience that the first instruction of our spiritual master infused us with Krishna consciousness, so that now we are at least on the path of Krishna consciousness and can understand the philosophy. As a result, there are many devotees engaged in this Krishna consciousness movement. So therefore, Prabhupada explains that association of a saintly person means one hears from a saintly person, and by hearing from a saintly person, one gets infused with Krishna consciousness. Now we are hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. How did this Bhagavatam come to be? So we have this verse from the first canto. Krishne Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Dibihi Saha Kalau Nashta Drisham Mesha Puranarko Adinoditaha.
So just after Sri Krishna left this material world for his own abode, accompanied by dharma and jnana, religious principles, knowledge, etc. So he left. So this Bhagavata Purana has arisen after his departure, and this Bhagavata Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it can dispel the dense darkness of ignorance in Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada explains that when we chant this verse, Nashta Prayesha Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. So this process of being infused with Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada explains in the purport to that verse. He says that by regular attendance, this is the text translation, by regular attendance in all classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who's praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So, and there Prabhupada explains this process of being infused with Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada explains, here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavatas. There are two types of Bhagavatas, namely the book Bhagavata and the devotee Bhagavata. Both the Bhagavatas are competent remedies, and both of them, or either of them, can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavata is as good as the book Bhagavata, because the devotee Bhagavata leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavata, and the book Bhagavata is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavatas. Book Bhagavata and person are identical. So when we say association with a saintly person can infuse us with Krishna consciousness, who is a saintly person? Prabhupada explains here that that Bhagavata leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavata. So this book Bhagavatam has arisen just like the sun, as the brilliant sun has arisen, just like at night it's very dark, so in the morning, especially now in summer, we have the brilliant sun. So all the darkness of the night is dispelled by the sun. So the person Bhagavata is the one who follows this book Bhagavata. And Prabhupada later on explains that it should be noted, in the same purport he explains, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavatas, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, and with the result that he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. So one receives transcendental knowledge by the association of the saintly person, and one becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. So that is the power of association with a genuine saintly person. One may hear Bhagavata Katha from a non-saintly person, but from a professional reciter, but one cannot become fixed in the process of devotional service by such hearing. The effect of hearing from a sadhu is one becomes fixed in the process of devotional service. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the process of devotional service, beginning with the first verse of the Sikshashtakam, Cheto Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadu Jeevanam Anandamudi Vardhanam Pratipadam Purnamrita Swadanam. So when one hears from a saintly person, one becomes infused with Krishna consciousness, which means one begins to chant the holy names of the Lord. And what happens is one cleanses the mirror of the mind or the heart, and one feels the blazing fire of the material existence, this forest of material enjoyment, the blazing fire caused in this forest of material enjoyment, that gets extinguished by the association of a saintly person. And anandambudhi vardhanam pratipadam purnamrita swadanam, one begins to feel this happiness, anandambudhi vardhanam, constantly increasing happiness.
and how at every step. So that is the test. Interestingly, Prabhupada, in a conversation, we are now in the third week of April, and exactly 36 years ago, in the third week of April, Prabhupada was in Melbourne. So there, there is a very interesting conversation. Prabhupada explains, devotee means the first sign he'll be happy. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, Bhagavad Gita 1854. If he is not Prasannatma, he's a rascal. He has not entered even devotional life. He's outside. That is the test. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, when he saw Vishnu, he said, everything is all right. I don't want anything. Swamin Katartosmi, that is Vaishnava. And if he's still in want or unhappiness, that means he has no spiritual life at all. He's simply making a show. So Prabhupada says, the devotee means first sign he'll be happy, and he uses a strong expression. If he's not Prasannatma, he's a rascal. So the effect of hearing from a pure devotee and practicing devotional service is that we become joyous, Prasannatma. So this has to be tangibly seen, that one becomes happy by the practice of devotional service. There's another anecdote which Srila Jayapatak Maharaj recollects. Once he was in Srila Prabhupada's room, and there was another devotee in that room who was morose and he was looking sad. So Prabhupada looked at the devotee and said, why are you sad? And the devotee gave some explanation. Prabhupada said, I order you to be happy. You cannot be happy, unhappy in the presence of the spiritual master. So there Jayapatak Maharaj explained, that is a very interesting instruction. I order you to be happy. So this symptom should be seen, and it is definitely seen in those who are fixed in the process of devotional service, that they're always happy. Not just happy, you meet a devotee today and you meet the same devotee 5 years later, you can see that his happiness has increased. Anandambudhi Vardhanam, the happiness of a devotee constantly increases. In fact, increases at every step. So this is the great benediction of the devotional service. This can happen only by the practice of pure devotional service. Bhakti can be of various forms, but when one practices pure devotional service, which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give us, and which Prabhupada has explained to us, when one practices this process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given, then it is Anandambudhi Vardhanam, that one is constantly happy. And that is the test, Prabhupada explains. That is the test. So you can recognize a serious devotee by noticing that the person is very attached to hearing the message of the sadhus, serving the sadhus, and the person is always happy. And Prabhupada explains that normally in material life, we know of only happiness through the senses. So it's very common that the word sense gratification, if you look up in the Veda base, it comes up so many times. Sense gratification, sense gratification, sense gratification, and how that sense gratification is condemned. But interestingly, Prabhupada also speaks of a concept called super sense gratification. And he explains it very nicely. So in a lecture in Hawaii during Gaur Purnima, Prabhupada explains, so the sum and substance of material happiness is to satisfy the senses. But Krishna says that is, he says this in the sixth chapter, Prabhupada quotes that later, sixth chapter, text 21, Sukham Atyantikam, the supermost happiness can be achieved not by these senses. So then there is happiness, that material happiness, which Prabhupada calls it, or he just used the expression happiness. Then Prabhupada says there is something called supermost happiness can be achieved not by these senses, but Atyendriya. Atyendriya means transcendental senses. Sukham Atyantika Atyantika Yattat Atyendriya Grahyam. Bhagavad Gita chapter 6 text 21. Sri Krishna says that Sukham Atyantikam. Atyantikam means super, super happiness. Atyantikam means that you cannot excel more. That which you cannot excel more. That is the final point. And then Prabhupada explains, what does this super happiness mean? He says, just like we have the senses, and we generally derive happiness through the senses. So Prabhupada says, just like if you have your hand, and you want to touch something, if you touch the object directly, then you have a certain sensation. It's a nice sensation if you touch with your hand directly. But if you wear a glove, and you touch the object by through the glove, then that is covered perception. Don't give you as much happiness as you get by directly touching the object. So Prabhupada explained, similarly, the material body is a covering on the spiritual body. So you have the spiritual senses, you have the material senses. It's like you have the material hand, then you have the glove. The glove is a covering on the material hand, on the fingers. Similarly, the material body is a covering on the spiritual body, and the material senses are a covering on the spiritual senses. So, and Prabhupada uses the expression, covered sense. If you have covered sense, you cannot enjoy the happiness superbly, Prabhupada says. That super happiness, super sense gratification, can be achieved by your transcendental sense, not by these covered sense. And Prabhupada also explains this further in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 19th chapter, text 24, where Lord Vamanadev begs charity from Bali Maharaj. So in the text 24, Prabhupada explains, one has to perceive happiness by the super senses, Prabhupada explains. The super senses are not the senses of the material elements. Every one of us is a spiritual being, aham brahmasmi. And every one of us is an individual person. Our senses are now covered by material elements. And because of ignorance, we consider the material senses that cover us to be our real senses. The real senses, however, are within the material covering. Dehinosmin yata dehe, Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 13. Within the covering of the material elements are the spiritual senses. And that is uncovered by Sarvopadhi Vinirmuktam Tat Paratvena Nirmalam, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 19.170. When the spiritual senses are uncovered, by these spiritual senses we can be happy. Satisfaction of the spiritual senses is thus described. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. When the senses are engaged in the devotional service of Rishikesha, then the senses are completely satisfied. Without the superior knowledge of sense gratification, one may try to satisfy his material senses, but happiness will never be possible. So, we can see here how Prabhupada stresses this concept of super senses. So, the process of Krishna consciousness that we practice is a process of happiness, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes. As Lochindas Thakur describes, it's a process of Kevala Ananda Kanda. So if we are properly fixed in the service of the Lord, then we're always happy. And the process of being properly fixed in the service of the Lord is to hear the Bhagavatam and to hear from the pure devotees. Just like it's explained how after Krishna left to his abode, the Bhagavatam has arisen just like the brilliant sun. So we can also take it that Prabhupada is left to the spiritual abode or wherever else he may be preaching, but he has left us with his books. And by regularly associating with his books, by hearing from his books, by reading his books, one can be situated in the process, one can be fixed in transcendental service, and one is always happy. This is a definite result. Just like alcohol. You drink alcohol, you're definitely going to be intoxicated. There's no person who can drink alcohol and not be intoxicated. Alcohol definitely produces intoxication. So it's a definite fact. So like that, if we have the practice of regularly associating with Prabhupada's books by hearing those his words, by reading his books, then one is definite to be always happy. Because Prabhupada once said, if you read my books, you will never fall down. You'll never fall down means you'll never fall down into material consciousness. You'll never fall down into material misery. So it's like a definite result. Alcohol produces intoxication. You read Prabhupada's books, you cannot be unhappy. The two things don't go together. It produces a definite result of being fixed in Krishna consciousness and being fixed in being happy. Then you may wonder, what about our material desires? What about all the different things? So, Prabhupada explains in the same purport to the super senses in the 8th canto. Prabhupada explains, according to Brahminical culture, one should be content with whatever he obtains without special endeavor and should cultivate spiritual consciousness. Then he will be happy. The purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to spread this understanding. I'll read that again. According to Brahminical culture, one should be content with whatever he obtains without special endeavor and should cultivate spiritual consciousness. Then he will be happy. The purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to spread this understanding. So, whenever we are materially frustrated, we can understand that it is because our material desires are not being fulfilled. So that produces frustration, and frustration produces unhappiness. So what is the solution to that? So Prabhupada explains that if one is content, then one can be happy. So by contentment, okay, whatever is coming is by the mercy of the Lord. And so by in that state of contentment, one can always be happy. And Prabhupada says, then he'll be happy, and he says, the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to spread this understanding. So, we notice that there is a certain framework. By acting within that framework, one can be both spiritually happy and materially happy. Like for example, family life. This whole previous chapter and this chapter deals a lot about family life. And every now and then we see that Prabhupada explains that if we are not careful in Krishna consciousness, we'll fall victim to this forest of material enjoyment and we'll be unhappy. So every now and then Prabhupada reminds us that we have to be properly fixed in devotional service. We may be engaged externally in material life, for example, grihastha life or whatever, but there is a framework within which we act. Like for example, we have this book which has been recently released by, last year or so, Jagannatheshwari Mataji. She compiled a collection of Prabhupada's instructions about married life. And there we can see the whole focus is how one has to serve the Lord, both husband and wife together, how one has to serve the Lord together. However, we also notice there are several material principles which Prabhupada explains there. The duties of the husband, certain material duties of the wife. So if one acts in that manner, then one is also sure that material happiness can come one's way. But if one is not acting on that platform, one can still be spiritually happy, but materially one cannot expect to be happy. Because ultimately Krishna consciousness is independent of grihastha dharma or stri dharma, pati dharma, whatever. It's independent of all these dharmas. It stands on its own. But by following the prescriptions of the of married life, as you can see throughout the Bhagavatam it's mentioned, then one can also be materially happy. But if one is not following the prescription, then one cannot be materially happy. Just like a car is a car. So if a devotee drives that car, it's not going to be any different. You have to follow certain rules to derive maximum benefit from the car. For example, the car runs on diesel or petrol. You cannot run that car by pouring Pepsi or Coca-Cola into the fuel pump. It's going to lead to a disaster. So like that, if we want to be happy, even materially in family life, then there are certain prescriptions
And if you want to see what those prescriptions are, then you can pick up this book, Four Goals of Family Life. It's an extremely thorough presentation of Prabhupada's teachings. So one can be happy like that even materially if one wants to do so. But the main focus is one practices pure devotional service in the association of one's wife or husband, whatever the case may be. And one tries to please Krishna. And sometimes we may say, okay, I'm following all the rules of grihastha life very nicely, but my wife is not so following so well, or my husband is not following so well, so what do? I'm frustrated. So then we have the solution, we can only try our best, so whatever comes out of it, we have to be content. So because this is coming by the mercy of the Lord, we can try whatever best we can, but we cannot afford to be unhappy. We have to remember that the focus is to please Krishna's senses. And as long as we keep that focus in mind, and we can keep that focus in mind if we regularly associate with the devotees, hear Bhagavatam, associate with Prabhupada's books, then that focus remains always intact. And you'll notice that all serious devotees, they're always blissful. And that is the effect of meeting with a saintly person. You feel surcharged with spiritual bliss, and the darkness of ignorance vanishes. And you must have heard several different anecdotes which Prabhupada disciples often relate, that when they were in the presence of Prabhupada, there's so much happiness to hear from Prabhupada, that inspiration, that enthusiasm would come. For example, many years ago when I met Mukunda Maharaj, he was explaining to me that one of the first times that he went to meet Prabhupada, he had so many questions in his mind. So he wanted to ask Prabhupada these questions. So after the kirtan, he went up to Prabhupada and he sat next to him. And he told Prabhupada that I have a drum, a bongo drum or something at home, and can I bring that for the kirtans? And Prabhupada simply said, oh, very nice, bring it. That's all. Just, oh, very nice, bring it. And Mukunda Maharaj explains that moment Prabhupada said those words, I felt so happy. Oh, very nice, bring it. And he said, all the different questions that I had vanished. So the fog of our mind, the fog of our consciousness need to be illuminated by the words emanating from the lips of the pure devotee. So in the presence of a pure devotee, just like Prabhupada says, in the presence of sunlight, there cannot be Maya. So the Bhagavatam is like the sunlight. So when we read the Bhagavatam, there cannot be Maya. When we hear the words of Prabhupada in his books, there cannot be Maya. So it dissipates all our doubts and we become joyful. So sometimes we may think, sometimes it's easy to speak about contentment. Okay, we have to be content. But practically it's so difficult that we have to be content in all circumstances. But it's possible, because if you consider the situation that we live in, the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. And there are so many different difficulties, so many different complexities in the times that we live in. And just like we say, how when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, sins even greater than what we can imagine can be destroyed. So that is the power of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Similarly, this whole process of Krishna consciousness, how wonderful it is. It's like we just came out from the temple. Devotees were chanting and dancing. How many people living in the cities, living in today's world, have that opportunity to chant and dance before going to work? I mean, the moment they get up in the morning, they're anxious. Okay, I need to get to work. I need to drive fast and whatever. They have so many anxieties. So if we consider what we have, the amazing good fortune that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought us, then we can think the kind of tribulation that we may undergo are very, very insignificant. I remember a couple of years ago, Mother Ragatmika, she wrote an offering to Prabhupada. So she writes that sometimes the summer of Mayapur can be very scorching, intense summer. So there, she writes that I was feeling overwhelmed by the summer heat, but then I realized that I deserve much more than this. I deserve the fires of hell, but I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kind that he has brought me here to Mayapur in the association of devotees. And so, how does this matter, this little tribulation? So, if we are feeling discontent, first of all, we would associate with Prabhupada's books. And we can also be grateful for the great fortune of Krishna consciousness that Prabhupada has given us. And if we examine each element of that fortune, the association of devotees, chanting, dancing, fasting, feasting, philosophizing, so much, there's so much nectar in this process. So if you try to examine this, just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Korohe Vichar Chitta Pabe Chamatkar, if you examine the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the hairs on your body will stand on end. So if you are feeling discontent about something, then first of all we try to associate with Prabhupada's books, we try to surrender to his books, and we also try to examine the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu which Prabhupada has brought to us. And if you examine this mercy, very soon the hairs on our body will stand on end. Then whatever discontent, whatever tribulations that we may be undergoing, they seem very insignificant. So we have to stick to this process of very Krishna consciousness very seriously. And Prabhupada explains that not only that, the members of this Krishna conscious society must themselves be perfect sadhus in order to give chance to fallen conditioned souls. So if we are not fixed in Krishna consciousness, if we are not happy all the time, where is the question of making somebody else happy? Where is the question of preaching effectively? So to preach effectively, one has to be fixed in Krishna consciousness and one has to exhibit the happiness, the genuine happiness of Krishna consciousness. Then there is hope that when you speak, people would be attracted to what you're speaking, because it will change their hearts. It will infuse their hearts with Krishna consciousness, because you're a strict follower and you're exhibiting the happiness of Krishna consciousness. And by this process, people will be rescued from this forest of material enjoyment. The last chapter, how it is described, all the dangerous animals, the whole graphic description, what a dangerous forest it is. And this chapter, it is more directly explained, and Prabhupada explains at the end of last chapter, it is the duty of the spiritual master to very nicely explain this whole process of Krishna consciousness. So this chapter is very nicely explained, the whole forest of material enjoyment, and we can see how dangerous it is. And Prabhupada every now and then he warns us, it's very dangerous. So if we have to rescue people from this very dangerous condition, we have to be properly fixed in the process of devotional service, and we have to be genuinely happy, and we have to show people that look, you can be genuinely happy, you can achieve this super happiness or this super sense gratification as Prabhupada calls it. So I think this verse today speaks about this, that association with saintly person and how we have to give out this association to others. So I think I'll stop there. There are any comments or questions? Most effective method that I've seen. How do we overcome our reluctance to preach and do all these things, although we hear it from the Srimad Bhagavatam? Most effective thing that I've seen is when we see devotees, examples of devotees who are doing that, that's very, very inspirational. So then we get that inspiration to do it ourselves. Of course, we have to have our own practice of being surrendered to reading Prabhupada's books every day. So that means directly associating with him. Prabhupada explains how reading Bhagavatam means associating directly with Krishna. Prabhupada explains that very nicely. And he also said that if you want to associate with me, read my books. So, and that cannot be underestimated, because in my own life I've seen it, that the moment I'm reading Prabhupada's books, I'm always happy. If I'm not happy. And Since we are living in Mayapur, there's another additional advantage that we have here. It is said that the great saintly persons reside in their samadhis. So, for many years, I was so foolish that I would not regularly visit the samadhi. And I remember once Satyarup Maharaj was visiting Mayapur, and he's usually a person who doesn't like noise and likes things to be silent, and he's usually reclusive. So once he was going to the samadhi, and his servants were complaining that the previous day it was very noisy and things like that. And so I suggested to Maharaj that maybe Prabhupada's room here in Mayapur would be better to chant. I mean, I was just thinking that maybe that's a better, more ideal to chant. And Maharaj is angry with that suggestion. He said, no, I want to go to the samadhi. I didn't understand why he was so angry. Later I remember another devotee who, while speaking of his house, he said that, I'm attached to this house because I can see the Prabhupada samadhi from this house. I didn't understand, what does he mean? I mean, attached to the house because I can see Prabhupada samadhi from this house. Sometime last year, I started visiting the samadhi because for certain reasons. And suddenly I realized that Prabhupada is very much there in the samadhi. And this effect that when you're in the presence of a pure devotee, the fog of material confusions and material whatever distress, it immediately vanishes. So then I started going to the samadhi regularly. And then one day Bhakta Janapriya Prabhu asked me, how is it that I see you often now in the samadhi? And I said, Prabhupada is here, and every time that I come here, the fog of material ignorance vanishes, and I get solutions to all the answers. It's like, it reminded me of what Mukunda Maharaj said, that in Prabhupada's presence, I got all the answers. So then I said, that's my practical experience, that when I'm in Prabhupada Samadhi, I get all the answers. Of course, the answers had to be confirmed from Prabhupada's books, but the point is that they do get answers. So, in Mayapur, we have that advantage of going to Prabhupada Samadhi and getting direct association with him. It's interesting that how in this latest book, which is released by the GBC, it's called The Position of Prabhupada in ISKCON. It explains how the Samadhi in Mayapur is the convergence of all the Samadhis in the different temples. So it explained how all the Samadhis converge in Prabhupada's Samadhi here in Mayapur, and this opens up to the spiritual world, and Prabhupada transfers us from his Samadhi here to the spiritual world. Anyway, I found that very interesting in this document. So here in Mayapur we have that advantage, of additional advantage, but nevertheless in any part of the world, it is usually, in my own life I've seen that the moment I see some devotee who is really enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness, who is very serious in Krishna consciousness, immediately that enthusiasm, that seriousness rubs off on me. So it is natural. It's like Prabhupada says that if you want to do business, you'd associate with business people. So then you get that interest in business. But similarly, if you associate with people who are very serious, then we naturally, that enthusiasm rubs off on us. But even otherwise, we should maintain our practice, regular practice. But by seeing devotees in person who are actually enacting that, who are seriously following, that I think is, in my life, the most inspirational. I don't know if it answers the question, but... Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Is it possible that the heart may be happy but the face may not be so expressive? Yes, Prabhupada's own life. Once in the early days, one disciple looked at Prabhupada's picture and said, you look very sad in this picture. And Prabhupada said, no, that was a moment of ecstasy. So, yes. I mean, happiness means, for example, that's why it says you can know a saintly person when they talk. So when people associate with you, it is not just your face, but what you talk, that's what counts. So they can see whether you're happy by the way you talk. I mean, in fact, it is something which is Krishna, who's there in the heart of the devotees. he infuses that Krishna consciousness into the heart of the listener. So if you're happy, then that happiness gets infused into the others. Yes, Pat. I'm not able to hear you. Is there an extra microphone? So he was sharing that while he was in Navadvip Parikrama, he was so happy internally. But externally his feet were hurting, he was sick, but he was so happy internally. So that's another answer to your question. The association of devotees, you're saying, is feeling so happy, visiting all those holy places. Yes, Madhuri. Okay, who said that? If I'm right, I'll just repeat it, just confirm it if I'm right. So he's saying that Srila Veerabahu Prabhu said that devotees feel content more than happiness or distress. Is that?
Satisfaction.
Feel satisfaction. Yeah. In fact, the word santosha is translated as satisfaction. Communication. The word santosha usually conveys the import of happiness. But santosha actually means that your contentment means you're not materially hankering or lamenting. That's what it is. You're not either materially hankering or lamenting. So obviously you're situated in this state of actual happiness. Yes. Prabhupada was mentioning that if we can be grateful to Krishna, that he's trying to shoo us away from our material attachments, and if we can be grateful, then we can be happy. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.